salvation. You have been my friend when no one else was there. You have proved your many miracles to me. I'm amazed at how you've taken care of me. There's no way to repay you for all you've given me. But I come to you and offer my praise. As long as there is breath in me, Lord, I will bless your name as long as I have life. Your name I'll glorify. You can take who I am, my desires and my dreams. I'll trade them for your will. I'll exchange them for your plan. As long as you're glorified. You've been my fortress, my refuge through the storm. There's never been a time I've been alone. Your grace and mercy have carried me through. Every hour, every moment, whether I was weak or strong, help me, Lord, to keep trusting in you. That whatever path you lead me, I will go. I know I'll find your presence leading all the way. Lord, may my life be a glory to you.
Junior high ladies, yeah, did a good job there. Very, very good. Did y'all place with that song, ladies? Yes. What place? Fourth. Screwball judges. I don't know who does that. Well, it might have been fourth with them, but it was first with the Lord. That was a good one. Amen. I like that. All right, Proverbs chapter 27. Let's go there in your book tonight. Proverbs 27. And I'm going to read one verse, and actually the song goes along just perfectly with what the Lord put on my heart to talk to you about tonight. Proverbs 27 and verse number 21. Not usual for us to take one verse and make it the subject and the theme of the message. It's not the theme, but the kind of the text verse that we'll bounce off of tonight. And if you found Proverbs 27, let's stand together in honor of God's word. If you're able to do that, I'm going to read verse 21. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Let's read it again. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And I'm going to speak on the most unlikely trial. The most unlikely trial. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your service tonight. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the good music. It's warmed our hearts, Lord, to think about you. And I do pray that you would receive the glory from this service, even tonight. All praise belongs to you. May we never forget that. Help me, I pray, to express the message you put on my heart tonight. Fill us with your power and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We all understand the testing or trying of precious metals. Precious metals such as silver and gold are tried and tested for their purification. And the wise man said that a fining pot is used to purify silver. A fining pot is like a melting pot, something similar to what you and I would call a crucible. If you took chemistry in high school, crucibles are used in chemistry experiments, you know, to melt metal or ore. And that's what a fining pot was in the Bible, like a crucible, okay? Gold, of course, is tried in a furnace, what the wise man said here. Again, the gold is purified in the fire. As heat is applied, the impurities are burned away. In fact, the Bible speaks of our faith, which is much more precious than that of gold, which perishes. Our faith being purified in the trials of life. Don't ever forget that, folks. God is not being ugly to us when He puts us through a trial. He's trying to purify us, okay? Trying to purify our faith. And there's a popular gospel song entitled The Refiner's Fire. And in that song, it speaks of our faith being hammered on the anvil of a trial for the purpose of refining our faith. God does that through trials. Now, when you think of trials, you think of tragedies. You think of calamities. You think of disasters, accidents, death. Something cataclysmic that brings suffering to our hearts, maybe to our bodies. But in this verse, the wise man mentions an unlikely source of testing. An unlikely source of trial. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. As silver is tried in the fining pot, and as gold is tried in the furnace, so a man, a human being, mankind, is tried in the crucible of praise. Now that seems to me the most unlikely of all trials, but God's word says that praise can be used to test us, to try us, to purify us. I will tell you this, the Bible does warn about falling into self-praise. You know, if we are to be praised, it should come from another person's lips and not our own. Okay? God is not kindly dispositioned to a person praising themselves. Being caught up in how good I am. Couple of examples. Don't turn to them. Daniel chapter 4. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? The Bible says the king spake. This is Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what he said. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And the next thing you read about, he's out in the field with his hair all grown out long and everything from, and his nails like a beast eating grass. I think God wasn't very pleased with his self-evaluation of how important he was. Acts chapter 12, you got another example, verses 21 through 23, talking about King Herod. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So he gives them a great big speech. He preaches a sermon. And the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Not good. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms. and gave up the ghost. So self-praise is not advisable. However, when someone else praises us, it is important how we receive it. And if not handled properly, praise can reveal a deep problem in our hearts that's usually centered in the sin of pride. I'm going to tell you, folks, pride is an awful, awful, awful sin. You understand that the original sin did not occur in the Garden of Eden. Now, the first sin committed by man against God took place in the Garden of Eden. But the original sin against God happened right next to the throne of God. Happened in the throne room of God. It's recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. For the Bible says there, talking about Lucifer. Now we know who that is. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will, and I think that's talking about all the creation, all the angelic creation of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Here's the capstone. I will be like the Most High. Five I wills. Lucifer's caught up with himself. He's caught up in pride. Lucifer, the archangel closest to the throne of God, than all the other angels in that angelic creation. He uttered those words, but I want you to notice that he never uttered them verbally. The Bible says, thou hast said in thine heart. He said those words in his heart, in his own mind, thinking about himself. I. That means, folks, that his thoughts were birthed in pride, and God knew them clearly, as clearly as if Lucifer had said them audibly. We can put a pious look on our face, but if we got stuff going on inside about how important we are and how this and that we are, we might as well just be saying it, because God reads it. And God knows it. When we receive praise from the lips of another man, we better respond in the right manner. At that point in time, praise becomes a crucible for our testing. Like the fining pot is a test or purification for silver, and like the furnace is a test or purification for gold, those precious metals. A praise is that to a person. And if we respond wrongly, it could be devastating. So I want to say three things about this tonight. We'll be done. Number one, praise from another is not improper. It's not always improper. Look at verse number two. Look at chapter 27. It's the same chapter. Look at verse number two. He said here, the wise man said, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Truth of the matter is, folks, we all have praised someone else. Haven't you spoken words of praise to somebody else? Sure you have. Husbands ought to praise their wives, and wives ought to praise their husbands. I just said, a couple of Sunday nights ago about child rearing. Whoever praises the child controls the child. It's reasonable, and it's often very helpful and encouraging to someone who has earned a word of praise to receive it. And, you know, here's what I thought. Humanity is made in the image of God, and God is pleased when he is praised. So you and I, made in the very image of God, it does our hearts good to hear a person praise, to receive a word of sincere praise from somebody else. Paul had, often he had words of praise for people he felt were deserving of that praise. And he spoke warmly of those who had helped him and labored with him in the work of the ministry. So it's not always improper to praise somebody else. Praise can be very helpful. But number two, praise from another must be received properly. Must be received properly. You know, folks, there is a simple but gracious response if you receive a word of praise. You know what that is? thank you works really well. Thank you. So does praise the Lord. So does God is good. So does I appreciate your kind words. Those are all good responses as long as they are sincere. But people, I want to tell you something. If praise is received with any thought of I deserve this, or, you know, yeah, I am pretty good, then we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. There's nothing we deserve but hell. Anything above that is a bonus. And the last thing that needs to happen is that somebody says a word of praise to us sincerely. Just being kind, just being gracious, just being encouraging, and that sincere word of praise goes to our head. And if we're foolish enough to take the praise of others seriously, then that shows how shallow and immature we are in our spirituality. And I believe that's what happened to Herod in Acts chapter 12. They hollered out, it's the voice of a God and not of man. And it must have pleased Herod greatly in his heart. And it went right to the point where he believed what they were saying. Maybe I am a God. And I'm going to tell you what. God smote him with worms. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a horrible way to die. And isn't it amazing to think of something so insignificant as a worm being the cause of your death? Maybe you weren't near as godlike as you thought you were. That a worm caused you worms. I read somewhere where they said he suffered for 4 months before he died. I don't know, Josephus said that, the Jewish historian. He was eaten a horrible death. That's what happened to a man who allowed his foolish heart to believe the words of praise that came from others. Maybe the words of praise were not even spoken with sincerity. Maybe they were spoken more from to gain advantage with a person of power. But I'll tell you something. Herod died as a fool believing the words of praise from others. And I just want to say to you and me, this is where all this came from this week. We have been tested in the last couple months as a church, because in the last couple of months with pilots and revival fires, there are a lot of words of praise offered by our guests. And I believe they're sincere words, but church, they cannot be received any more than just thank you. It cannot go to, you know, and I am grateful when other preachers stand in this pulpit and they recognize the effort that you folk have put into pilots, and they recognize the effort that you folk put into a Revival Fires conference. I am thankful when they express their gratitude, and I know they mean it because they say the same to me about the people here. And you know what? The people working behind the scenes, they don't know your faces. They don't know your names in some cases. But they do know that events like pilots and events like revival fires don't happen by accident. There was a ton of work. Pilots is more labor intensive than revival fires. It really is. But there was a ton of work that went into the Revival Fires conference. And I mean, people working behind the scenes. The bathrooms being cleaned, the auditorium. I mean, as many times as we used this auditorium, it had to be cleaned and straightened up and picked up. And the bathrooms cleaned and all the work in the kitchen. And on it goes. And they realize nothing like this happens by accident. And I'm happy when they say thank you. I am as happy as I am when they praise a church. Please receive it properly and do not let it go to our head. We have a lot of work to do as a church to improve for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like no man ever apprehends, like Paul said, just like no man ever apprehends, no church ever fully apprehends. There's always some area needs to be worked on, some area that needs to be improved. And you sit back and the praise is just over and over again, over. And I think it's sincere, but please just don't ever. And I don't, maybe I'm preaching this for myself tonight. And I'll say something about that in a minute, you know, but just be careful. It never goes to our heart, never resides in us like, yeah, you know, be careful about that. I've noticed something over the years here. I think I've mentioned it before. And that is this, whenever, especially our teenagers, as a group, corporately, whenever they receive a lavish praise, it seems like shortly afterwards, some kind of problem develops in the group. Somebody gets in trouble. And maybe it's because teenagers aren't as mature as adults in many cases. And that kind of thing being said, just it's not handled properly. It's so easy. Come on now. We're flesh. We all got a sin nature. And it's so easy to let that stuff get in our minds and circulate around and think about what's been said. What I'm saying to you tonight is what I've said to myself the last couple of days. You know, I was just after one particular service, the comments were just too much. They were just way over the top. There were guests here from other churches, and the pastors of those guests were here. And it was just, you know, Pastor Angel, Pastor Angel, Pastor Angel. I wanted to crawl under that chair. I'm kidding you. Ask her. Oh, good grief. Man, you got to stop. No man is worthy of that. None. And afterwards, I went to one of the other pastors and I said, man, look, I'm sorry. It got a little over the top. Pastor Woodward probably knows me better than any other pastor. He actually called me on Thursday morning about 10 minutes till 8, quarter 20 till 8 before I taught college up there. He said, you doing all right? I said, yeah. He said, I could tell your spirit was wounded last night. He could tell it. And I will tell you folks take very good care of me. You're very kind to me and my wife. Very kind to us. As a whole, this church has always been that way. I know that because all six of our grown children love this place with all their heart. And if they could be where they wanted to be, you know where they'd be? All of them? They'd be right here. And not just because their physical home is here, because they love this church. And I know a couple of situations where the pastor and his family haven't been treated with the same love and care that you folks have treated us with. And their grown children are not near as positive about that, about their home church, as our kids are about this church. That's proof positive that, you know, and I'm not looking for any other church to pastor, and there are no calls coming in. You're stuck with me, okay? You're stuck with me. And I realize I'm the face of FBC, and that's true about every church. You talk about Grace Baptist Church in Lockport, Illinois, the person's face that comes to your mind is Pastor Keith Harrison. You mentioned this church over here, the pastor's face comes to mind. They don't see the faces of the ladies working in the kitchen. They don't see the face of the men that are working. They don't see the going to the airport and picking people up and driving folks here and staying late at night and taking guest preachers back to the motel and people that come in here and pick up things and straighten up. They don't see the face of those people. I get that. I understand it. And I'm okay with being thanked for what we do here when guests come. But when comments go too far, it's like, stop. No man. Oh, they just sang it. All glory goes to God. And Brother Paisley preached that, didn't he, on Wednesday morning? He preached that very theme. Look, I am as tempted as anybody else to start to believe the things that people say. And when you hear all this, this, blah, 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 and you start believing that stuff, I don't want to get eaten by worms. If I'm going to leave this world, worms does not sound like a pleasant way. It's incredible. Praise is encouraging, but it's also dangerous. It's a crucible. It's a fining pot. It's a furnace. And when somebody praises you, and maybe they do it too lavishly, and maybe it's over the top, and the devil comes along, perches on your shoulder, and starts to work on you, you know, I can see it. No. All glory goes to you. It must be received properly. And by the way, this is true about praise received anywhere, about anything. Performance on the job. Guys, performance on the job, you got to be careful when the boss lavishes praise on you. You start believing that it's all you? Who gives you the mental acuity? Who gives you the physical ability? It all is a gift of God. And when the boss comes around and lavishes the praises, maybe he's unsaved and maybe he's got another, you know, angle in mind. Maybe he's kind of got another thing. But then, you know, just you got to take that. If it's a performance on the job, if it's playing sports, if it's ministry with music. And sometimes folks stand up here and sing a song that God just, the Spirit of God just, you understand, the same song could have been sung a year ago by the same person, didn't have the same effect, because on that particular day, that God's Spirit just blew on that thing. I preach out enough and preach the same messages. And I don't mean I just have two or three messages, but I've seen it just, and God takes a message for a specific purpose, a specific reason, and the Spirit of God just gets in it. That's not me. And that's not a musician. That's not a singer. On the job, on the basketball court, ministry with music, your family, somebody lavishes praise, physical looks. You have to be careful. Do you know what it is? 2 Samuel 14:25 says, but in all Israel there was none, now listen to this, to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. He was a physically attractive man. And everybody must have told him that. Wow, Absalom, man. Wow, wow, wow. You hear enough of that? And you don't handle it right? How'd Absalom fare? I'll tell you how he fared. He stole the kingdom from his dad. Maybe what motivated that was all the praise that was heaped on him. And he began to think, you know, I must be somebody pretty special. I must be somebody that they all look up to. And then he starts stealing the kingdom away from his father. And you know how life ended up for Absalom. Be careful about lavishing praise on your children concerning their physical attraction. I think every little girl, every teenage girl should hear from dad, you're a pretty girl. And a boy could hear from his mom, you're a handsome man. But when you just go on and on and on and on about physical beauty, you know what you should do, folks? You should praise their character more than their talent. Because kids start believing it. I know what I'm talking about. We had a situation with a girl one time back when the kids were going to school in Dwight. And Brother Woodward called me and he said, we got to deal with so-and-so. And the agreement was when our kids got in trouble over there, it didn't say if. I said when. Okay? When our kids got in trouble over there, I would drive over and be a part of the discipline session, be a part of dealing with the problem. And this girl was being snotty to people. I mean, she was ugly. She was just ugly. And Brother Woodward and I, and talking to her and trying to get to the bottom of what in the world, and she started to cry, and she said, my mother tells me I'm the most beautiful girl in all the school. And I think she believed it. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We're talking here about, folks, we're talking about something that a man died of worms from. We're talking about something that a man lost his mind and started eating grass like a cow from pride. I don't think God takes too well to that kind of stuff. This isn't just a warning about praise at church or because of ministry, but it's on my heart because I left here and I was just sick to my stomach. I said, that was just, it's just, and I, and it's, you know, I'm not mad at the brother. And I just was too. It was too much. Stop. How praise is received is vitally important. So how do we receive it? Number three, deflect praise to the one who deserves it. Where's it got to go? All glory belongs to God. This is what the Bible says about King Herod in Acts chapter 12. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, listen, because he gave not God the glory. When praise comes our way, there are several good verses to call to mind. How about John 15:5, where Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. So if something good came out of a song, if something good came out of a sermon, if something good came out of a job performance, if something good came out of a ball game, if something good, no matter what, who had to get the job done? It had to be him. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How about 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And in case you're tempted to start thinking pretty highly of yourself, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 through 29, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. And that goes for all you young people who walk across the stage at Pilots and get that little ribbon and get all those awards. Even in your youth, you need to remember where all that comes from. Amen. Every bit of it comes from him. Need to be like the little orphan boy who lived on the streets. And the wealthy king took a tour of his country one day. And they passed by the little boy living on the street there. His clothes were tattered. He was starving, hungry. He needed a bath. And the king had the coach stop, and they began to talk to the little boy and found out he was orphaned and homeless. And the king's heart broke. And compassion, he told them, the little boy, to get in the coach with him. And they ended up at the king's palace. They put that boy in a room. Beautiful, nice, soft bed to sleep in with clean linens. And they put a big pile of clothes there for him. Told him to come down to the bath and had a hot bath where he could get cleaned up and then come to the supper table. And the supper table was filled with food. And he didn't have to ask for seconds or if he could have a second piece of this or a second piece of that. And he was taken in by the king and lived in the king's palace. One night they gathered for supper and his chair was empty and the king waited for a few minutes and he didn't show up and he didn't show up. So finally the king sent the king went up to the room himself to kind of check on the boy. And he didn't even knock. He just opened the door to his room very slowly and quietly. And when he did, the boy was standing at the chest of drawers with one of the drawers open. And he shut the drawer real quick. And the king said, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. He said, what's in the drawer? And he walked toward the bed. The boy said, oh, nothing. And so he just kind of opened the drawer and here was the tattered clothes that the boy was wearing the day the king brought him to the palace. And the king pulled those clothes out and said, what are you doing with these? You don't need these anymore. The little boy hung his head and he said, yes, sir, I know. But every now and again, I just like to pull these out to remember where I came from. and how good God's been to me. So the next time somebody goes a little overboard, or maybe when the devil jumps up on your shoulder and just kind of motivates you to start believing in your heart that it's really you, go to the drawer, pull out the old tattered clothes of sin, the old garments of sin that you were wearing when you came to Christ, and just remember what you are today is all because of Him. And anything that we do for Him is because of Him. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Let's keep our wits about us. Amen. We're very privileged and blessed to be able to host these events and have people. People don't have to come. They choose to come. And God bless you for all your effort. But let's remember who the credit really goes to. If praise comes this way at us, let's just send it right to Him. That's where it belongs. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through the Word of God. Lord, I don't want to ever be a Herod. I don't want to be a Nebuchadnezzar. I want to be the little boy who remembers where he came from. I want to be the little boy who remembers what I was wearing, not physically, but I was clothed in rags of sin when Jesus Christ had compassion on me and saved me. I never want to forget that. And Lord, you've allowed us as a church, several individuals in here, to do some things for your honor and your glory. It's not us. It's not us. May we never, ever begin to think it is us. Help us to pass the test of praise. Help us to pass the trial of praise. And as we pass it, may it purify our faith. That results in us realizing even more, it's all God. He must increase. I must decrease. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Keep us in that frame of mind, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I haven't had a problem with pride, really, about this, but it just was a reminder, a challenge. I want to pass the test, the trial of praise. Is that you tonight? May I see your hand in the air, acknowledging God speaks to you. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open for salvation. The altar is open for baptism as the pianist begins to play. You obey the Lord tonight. Maybe it's been a long time since you just got on your knees and said, God, thank you. Thank you for my physical health. Thank you for my mental acumen and the physical. Thank you for everything you've done for me. And help me to deflect all praise to you, all glory. Whether it's from something ministry related or something just out on the job or something on the ball field or the court. Let's always deflect it to God. It's Him. It's His glory. It's His honor. It's His praise.